As I do normally, I usually ask a question at the beginning of my lesson. So my question this morning is, do you have control of your life? And then how much or to what extent do you have control of your life? You know, probably as a kid, you might say, well, as long as my parents tell me it's okay, then I can do whatever I want. So they have a limited control of what they can and can't do with their life or in their life. And then as they get a little bit older, you know, I say a little bit older, as they get out of high school, they might say, I'm out of my parents' house. I can do whatever I want. Just don't tell them what I did, because they're still going to be upset and they're still going to come down on you. You know, I'm 35 years old. My mom still tells me whenever she's disappointed in me. That doesn't get any different as you get older, I don't guess. And if you're married, you might say, well, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, until you get that elbow in the side. And if it's all right with you, that's what I meant, honey. That's what I meant. That's kind of how it goes as a married person. You, at least with me, I don't like it when my wife's upset with me, so. So this morning we're going to talk about control, but we're not going to talk about an external control, because kind of things we've been talking about are more external. We're going to talk about self-control, which is more of an internal control, things that you deal with, you know, from your heart, in your mind, what you think about. So we're going to start out and we're going to define self-control. We've got a few definitions here. Dictionary.com defines it as control or restraint of oneself or one's actions, feelings, etc. Webster defines it as restraint exercised over one's own impulses. Now, you won't find the word or term self-control in the King James Version of the Bible, but you will find temperance, which basically carries the same meaning as self-control. From the Greek, Thayer defines it this way: the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. And then finally, James McKnight adds this thought: where this virtue subsists, temptation can have little influence. When you think about that, if you have self-control, true self-control, it's going to be hard for you to be tempted. Now, you're still going to have temptations, but it's going to be harder for a temptation to get to you if you have true self-control over the things that you think about and over the things that you do in your life. So I believe self-control is essential for every Christian to learn, because without self-control, we can't sufficiently overcome the works of the flesh. And as I mentioned, the word self-control you won't find it in the King James Version, but like I said, temperance is usually used in place of that. And so let's look at some of these verses that are in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So Peter is letting us know that we need to add temperance or self-control to our faith. It's something that we need to have. We should work on daily. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So Paul is confronting Felix about the will of God and self-control. So if you think about it, self-control is our response to God's instructions to us. Wrap your head, your mind around that for a minute. If we use self-control, we're less likely to sin. If we don't use self-control, more than likely we are going to sin. because we have no control. We're faced with it and we're just going to do it because it may not matter to us. So our self-control or lack of self-control directly affects our relationship with God and how ultimately He's going to judge us in the end. And that's why I believe self-control is essential for all Christians to have, because it will help us battle the sin in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, prior to these verses, Paul actually talks about the works of the flesh. I'm not going to go over those because that's not what I'm necessarily want to talk about this morning. But you could go back and read those verses. But he talks about the works of the flesh and how they are manifest in a list of different sinful things that he talks about there. Then we get to verse 22 and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Meaning, by the fruit of the Spirit, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from our nature. So self-control comes from the fruit of the Spirit. We don't necessarily come by it naturally. So we can't, as Christians, we can't truly have self-control over the sin in our lives without God's help. And based on these verses, we can now define biblical self-control as controlling yourself based upon the perfect will of God. Our main purpose of having self-control is so that we don't sin against God. So my next question is, do you have self-control? And we're going to look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. Before we do that, like I said, you remember the self-control is going to be internal things that we deal with from the heart, from the mind, things we think, things that sin is in front of us, whether we have control to do that or to turn away from it. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So in other words, we're defenseless without self-control. If we don't have self-control, God's help for self-control, we don't have a wall up to help us protect from that sin that's right in front of us, to help us keep from going to that sin and doing it. Proverbs 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So those who have self-control have more strength than the person who has a power to take over a city. If you think about that, if somebody were to come in and, I don't know, take over Wheeler, if you have self-control, you have more control or more power than that person does. That, to me, that's kind of hard to grasp, but I kind of think of it as and I may be wrong here, but I think of it as, let's say you're a manager somewhere. Say you come in and you take over as manager in this spot and they had a vacant spot, you got hired, you come in and you're telling your employees, do this, do that, and you're mean to them. Let's say you're mean, they don't like you, they start getting upset with you, people start leaving because you're just not a good manager. They don't have self-control to be that good manager. You take somebody that has self-control, they come in and they end up having more power than maybe this person that had more knowledge of the job, but they have more power because they have self-control and they have respect. Like I said, I could be wrong with that, but that's kind of how I see it. Can you control yourself? It's a whole lot easier to define self-control than to actually put it in practice. You notice what Paul says about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, many times Paul alludes to Christianity as being a battle, and he loves to use the athlete as an example. You notice he said those who are competing for the prize are temperate in all things. That means they are exercising self-control in their life. They have to discipline themselves every day to go out and practice and put forth their best effort so they can run the race to the best of their ability. Without exercising self-control, it'd be easy for them just to sit back, take it easy, and be unprepared to win the prize. Well, the same thing's true when it comes to Christianity. We must discipline ourselves every day by exercising self-control so that we don't indulge ourselves in sin. You know, we can't, when it comes, you know, just think about a leg race. You can't control how the race will end up or how it goes. But you can control yourself by preparation, training your body, conditioning your muscles. That's what you do. You ask Logan, running track. He had to condition himself. He had to practice those things. Well, it's the same thing with us. Same thing goes for our Christian walk and self-control over sin. You can prepare yourself by focusing on God and His Word, consistently praying for His help to keep you from sin, especially those sins that we find ourselves coming back to time and time again. You know, about a month ago was when I started thinking about this and come up with this. And so I started thinking, okay, I'm going to concentrate on my self-control. I'm going to concentrate on what I can do to keep from sin. And so this is going to sound funny, but I've kind of got this little voice in my head now that's, where's your self-control? Made me think of Hulk Hogan. Where's your self-control, brother? I mean, like I said, it might sound silly, but I got a little Hulk Hogan in my head. Where's your self-control, brother? I wish Jason Martin was here to hear that. He'd get a kick out of it. But it's been effective. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I've overcome all of my self-control, because I haven't. But I felt like I've made a difference, and that has helped me. Doesn't mean you have to have a little voice in your head, but things I feel are important to have self-control over. There are a lot of things that we could talk about, a lot of things that we could discuss about self-control and what each person in here considers they have problems with and they don't have self-control with. I'm going to list just a few things, otherwise we might be here for a week or so. Do we need to exercise self-control over our emotions, especially anger? Self-control will keep us from acting upon anger. For instance, you know, if a person gets up in your face and they're provoking you and they're saying some choice words and really irritating you to the point where you get upset, if you don't have self-control, you're going to maybe say some choice words back at them. Or maybe you just rear back and you just sock them in the mouth. I mean, it depends upon how mad you get and how much self-control you have. But if you have self-control, you should be able to keep your composure and just walk away. And there's nothing wrong with becoming angry unless you act in a sinful way because of your anger. The Bible teaches us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In Proverbs 19:11. Maybe I skipped that one. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. This last verse is telling us that if you have the understanding of the importance of self-control, exercising self-control, you'll be slow to anger in the first place. So if I know consciously that I need to have self-control in a situation, more than likely, so if you prepare yourself of, I may go in here and I may get upset. I need to prepare myself to have self-control, to not lose it. Then more than likely, you're going to be slow to anger in the first place. This leads up to our next point, our tongue. What do we do when we get angry? A lot of times, stuff comes out of your mouth you don't necessarily mean. You regret that you said it. You shouldn't have said it. But the tongue's hard to control. James chapter 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James gives some great advice in many places about having self-control over the tongue. What James is telling us is to prepare yourself to learn to listen first. Don't jump to conclusions, and after you have had time to process what has been said, then take time to think about your response so you can speak in a kind way. I'd also say this, if you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're about to lose it, you're about to blow up, don't continue that conversation. Don't continue the conversation and say something you regret. Simply walk away and say nothing. Now that might seem rude to some people, but I can promise you that they will get over you walking away a lot quicker than they're going to get over whatever it was that you were about to say to them out of anger. James also says this, James 1 verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. An uncontrolled tongue can render your religion useless and make it to where you no longer have a positive influence on those around you. Just think, if you get upset at work or out in public somewhere and people see you as a Christian, they know you go to church, you profess to be a Christian, and then you say things that shouldn't come out of your mouth, well, you've kind of taken your witness on them away, because now they don't see you as they used to. Out of all things that we need to exercise self-control over, I personally believe the tongue is the hardest one for all Christians to control. James gives us great detail about the tongue in James 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Mankind has tamed all these things. I mean, you think about it. We've got, around here, we got cattle. Probably most of us have pets at home. We've got dogs, cats, reptiles. Though they've all been tamed. We can tame those things. But this little thing right here, it says it can't be tamed. It can't. But with self-control, we can help to tame that, to think about what we're about to say, and process it before we say it. The opposite sex. We must also exercise self-control when it comes to the opposite sex. We need to follow after Joseph's example. Whenever Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to lie with her, she caught him alone in the house one day, and we've all heard the story. She's, lie with me. She grabs his garment and boom, he jets. He takes off, leaves his garment there, and we need to follow after that example so that we don't sin against God. The best way to do this is to avoid putting ourselves in situations that will tempt us or give us an opportunity to commit a sexual sin. Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I know a lot of times we probably, we like to shy away from this subject because it's a touchy subject. It's hard to go in depth in this setting. We've got smaller children that don't understand some of this. But you adults, you older kids, you understand what I'm talking about. You understand where this can lead to. It can be a bad thing, lead you down a long, dark road. And we need to have self-control over it. It can ruin your life. It can ruin a marriage. It can cause divorce. It can break up families. We need to have control when it comes to the opposite sex. Now, how do we strengthen our self-control? This is going to be pretty easy because it's the same stuff that we seem to list every time when, you know, we talk about we need to work on something. Well, these are things to do it. So it's not going to be anything that's new. Prayer. You know, when we were baptized into Christ, our old self died and we are a new creature. And because of that, we can get help from God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus came to earth, was tempted as we are tempted and didn't sin, and then he turns around and he dies for our sins. As Christians, we should constantly be praying. Every day, consistently, be praying. But what happens? What do normal people do? Maybe they get on a kick. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray. Maybe you start out. I'm going to pray in the morning, pray at night, pray at lunch. And then you start to fall away from that. And a lot of times we find ourselves more fervently praying during our time of need, which isn't a bad thing. We need prayer in our time of need. But we don't need to pray just in our time of need. We need to constantly and consistently be praying. We need to pray for our self-control every day, every time we think about sin, and when we aren't thinking about sin. When we're faced with sin, pray for self-control. As you turn and walk away from it, pray for self-control. And continue praying. Now, praying over something a few times, a problem that you may have, and you pray over it and you pray over it, and then that sin is right in front of you, and you're able this one time to turn around and walk away from it and say, I'm not going to do that today. That's not happening. I've got self-control. Okay. Well, I don't need to pray about it anymore. No. You need to continue to pray about it because 2 days later when you're confronted with this sin in your life again, you may not be able to walk away from it. You may walk right into it. And there you are in sin. You've lost your self-control. You didn't continue to pray about it like you should have. Self-control doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to wake up in the morning and think, well, I've got self-control. Logan didn't become good at basketball or track. Cheyenne didn't become good at volleyball or basketball overnight. I didn't become a social worker overnight. I went to school. I studied. Somehow I passed college, got a degree, and eventually got my license. It took studying. It took a long time in order for me to do that, to achieve that. Self-control is the same way. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning, be on a diet and think, hey, Brother Britt preached on self-control yesterday. I've got self-control. I'm good to go. Show up at work. Somebody's brought donuts. Hey, there's a donut. Well, guess what? You just lost your self-control. It doesn't happen overnight. We've got to continue to work on it, continue to pray for it. Number three, spend our time around those who can influence and encourage us. We need to be around like-minded Christians to help influence and encourage us to exercise self-control instead of hanging around those that probably maybe bring us down or tempt us in one way or another. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, that's kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? If you walk around with wise men, well, you're more likely to be wise. If you walk around with Christians, you're more than likely going to have the right mindset. You're not going to be tempted to sin. But if you walk around with people that aren't Christians, that don't care, and start talking in a manner that you know is not Christian-like, doing things that you know aren't Christian-like, you may end up doing the same things that they do if you continue to do that. So here's your Facebook quote for the day. Don't put yourself in a situation to sin. Can you guess the other part? Put yourself in a situation to win. One of the greatest helps for us to maintain self-control is by reading and studying God's Word. Proverbs 30, verse 5 through 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Everything we need to know on how to control our self-control can be found in God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good things. Lost my spot. So finally, we need to focus on keeping our thoughts on righteousness. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When we think about captivity, I go back to animals again. And animals that I have at home that scare most people, but they're in captivity. They're in cages. And as long as those cages are locked and secure, they can't get out. If they're not locked, they would get out because they have. But as long as they're locked, they're stuck in captivity and they can't go anywhere. Our thoughts to the obedience of Christ should be in captivity. We should put righteous thoughts in our head, keep them there, and don't let them out. Don't let something else in. Now, think righteous thoughts. Ways to do that are going to be similar to what we just talked about. By reading your Bible. If you're reading your Bible, more than likely, you're going to have righteous thoughts. If you're praying constantly and consistently, more than likely, you're going to have righteous thoughts. Putting yourself in winning situations, being around like-minded Christians, spending time with them, more than likely, you're going to have righteous thoughts. Now, this last one. Watching the right shows and listening to the right music. If we're watching shows that we know aren't good, showing things they shouldn't show, saying things they shouldn't say, that we don't need to have in our mind, it's going to be hard to have righteous thoughts all the time. If we're listening to music that's talking about drugs and who I'm going to be with tonight and who I'm going to hurt and this and that. And that's what you listen to. You're not going to have righteous thoughts. You're not going to have self-control. It's going to be harder. I'll say this. It's going to be harder to have self-control listening to those things. That's something that I was convicted of, was music. I loved listening to music. I like to work out. I like to lift weights. It's a de-stressor for me. And when I do that, I would have on some 90s hip-hop, bebopping around and working out. And then one day I was like, you know what? I know I'm in my shop, but people can still hear this. That's not putting out a positive thing. They're not going to see me as a Christian if I'm listening to this stuff. I don't need that. I felt convicted in the heart of that. So what did I do? I went and I found some Christian music. Yeah, it's still upbeat, but you know what? It's talking about Christ. It's talking about godly things. I changed that in my life. Now, as we get to the end here, about a month ago is whenever David came up to me and said, hey, you're up. And actually, he gave me 2 weeks, but Jason and I switched, and it worked out to where I had a month rather than 2 weeks, so I was happy. And I thought, what am I going to preach on? I'm sitting in my shop one evening, late afternoon, had some time alone, and I'm thinking, what's a good subject? Well, a lot of times you end up thinking, okay, what do I struggle with in my life? So I start thinking of these things that I struggle with, and I think, dude, you lack self-control. You have no self-control in some of these areas. That's something you need to work on. So here I am. I have changed things. Like I said earlier, I know I'm not perfect. I know I haven't changed everything, but I'm working on it. Just as we all should, work on have self-control to be able to control these things in our life. A lot of times you think of, well, why'd I do this and why'd I do that? And, well, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Are you really doing the best you can, though? Really and truly, are you doing the best that you can? So many times we use that as an excuse. Well, I'm doing the best I can. What else can I do? Well, let me ask you this. You have a sin in front of you that you're thinking about doing. And then you know it's not right. You know you should walk away. But it's so tempting. No, it's so tempting. And then you walk right into it and you do it and then you feel regret and you feel upset and you want to pray about it, but you don't even pray about it because you're so upset that you did it. Your pride is keeping you from forgiveness because you went ahead and did what you knew you weren't supposed to do. But then you turn around again and you tell God, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, did you really do the best that you could whenever you knew that you were about to sin and you did it anyway rather than turning around and walking away from it? Where's your self-control? Got to a point in my life where I knew that I was doing things I shouldn't do. I'm trying to take control over my self-control. If you're not a Christian here today and you're tired and you're worn and you're weak and you want self-control, you want to feel that love from the Lord, you want to feel that emptiness in your heart, this is the place to do it. This is the time to do it because you're not going to get it from anyone else but Jesus. If you're here today and you're a Christian and maybe you've fallen back behind, maybe you lack self-control and you want that self-control in your life again today to fill that void, to not feel ashamed anymore, now's the time to do it. Don't wait. And I'll be the first one to step forward and ask for prayers. As I was talking to Sean before service this morning, Yeah, I got to that point in my life, I want to make a change. I'm tired of being a mediocre Christian. I'm tired of not living the life like I should. I'm tired of not studying like I should. I'm tired of not praying like I should. I'm tired of not being the father, the son, the friend that I should. And I want that change. And I'm ready. Are you ready today?